You know this one, Hugh.
Yeah, this is the Backstreet Boys, right? NSYNC?
It's not. Yeah, it's NSYNC.
Yeah, I knew it was one of them boy bands that Elliot
had.
Short
well, it had to be one of them. Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many.
I keep forgetting, man. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I forget. But this is a banger, though.
Well, you're
really?
I know you're not trying to be disrespectful. Not like a reporter today working blue at an Eagles press conference. Let's bring Elliot on. He was certainly not that reporter. Elliot Shore Parks with us right now, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing?
Man, I'm just picturing Hugh bopping around in his Bucky's hat to bye, bye, bye. Just, you know, it's full playoff mode right now. That's how you know it's playoff time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. This is a banger, though.
Hugh's been on some weird time today.
Hello?
Yeah, we was waiting for you. Kyle said I was on some weird time, and we was waiting for you to retort.
I thought I got dropped. My bad.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, you're here. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's reset. All right, Elliot, before we get to the real stuff to talk about here, I need your take on what happened about, 45 minutes ago. So we're airing the Nick Sirianni press conference. We know you were there. And there was another reporter that was there, right? And I'm listening, and Kyle's listening, and I thought I heard something. I was like, yeah, there's no way I heard that. And then Kyle's like, did you hear that? And I said, I guess I did, and then apparently Jack heard it and Hugh heard it. Did a fellow reporter work blue at a press conference, Elliot?
Yeah, so a reporter did use a word that I guess you guys are very worked up about, but he was quoting Nick Sirianni, who said it earlier in the year about Jalen Hurts, and I think if we can all be honest, it's not really a curse word. That's my opinion. I'm not going to say it on the air.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Take a stand, Elliot.
Go ahead and
take
say
a stand.
It.
Honestly, if Rod wouldn't get mad at me, I would probably do it. But I think there are other words we're allowed to say on air that I think are worse than that word.
All right, so
like
hold
what?
On a second. So, what word is worse than the one?
I don't feel comfortable saying it on air because I view it as a curse word. But I think that the A word that people are allowed to say is worse than that word.
What? Ass?
What? Yeah, I don't feel comfortable saying it. But
why not?
I think it's a top three curse word.
Did you? What school?
Ass is a... Hold on.
Yeah, I think it's on the Mount Rushmore of curse words.
Didn't Samson whoop some people ass with the jawbone of an ass? Didn't he do that?
Yeah, I mean, well, the other thing that we've talked about a lot recently, Elliot, Hugh was teaching me there's different ways.
Showing your whole ass. Yeah,
you got to show your whole ass. Like on Sunday, the Eagles defense showed their whole ass. Ella, I guess you would not agree because you don't want to.
Well, I would agree they played well. I just wouldn't feel comfortable phrasing it that way because there could be children listening, and that's the question.
Wait a minute. So now I'm fascinated by this. So, Elliot, what other words do you deem that are just over the top and cuss words that you don't use?
See,
but just give me an idea.
I know. First of all, I just picture Rod listening to this. Like, what is going on?
No, I'm just fascinated. Like,
well, no, I blame the reporter today.
Ass is not in your repertoire.
He started this.
Ass is not a part of your vocabulary.
I think there's three clear curse words: the F word, the B word, and the A word. And after that, I think like there's a massive gap between any other that and the curse word.
All right, how do you reconcile that a donkey is an ass, Elliot? Like, how do you like that's. It's just,
yeah, I just,
it's not
I
a
don't
bad word
it that way. I think those are the three. And after that, like, if you want, like, I know we're allowed to sit on the radio. I just don't. And the donkey thing doesn't really do it for me, to be honest. Like, it doesn't impact my opinion on it.
All right. Can we quickly, Kyle, do you have the audio of what happened earlier today just so we could
yeah, I got it.
Let this reporter off the hook or not? Or let's listen to this. So,
I guess
Elliot, the more I hear it, I guess he was quoting Sirianni, so it's not like he just said it for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, as a fellow Big J to the reporter that asked it, he's just quoting it. And I said it earlier in the year to Nick Sirianni, or I said it to Jalen Hurts, because I think it's important to know the context of how strongly Nick felt about it by using that phrase.
Yeah, that's where he was at with it. Yeah, he just wanted to use it. He was that, I don't know who it was, but it sounded like he was the cat that hey, this is my only time that I can use this in a sentence. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it here at the press conference. I'm going to be cool.
He had his moment, Hugh. He had his moment to say it.
Yeah, he had his moment. He had his moment, man. He went viral.
And like a true football guy, didn't even react to it. Like a true football guy, he didn't even react to it. Because it's not really a curse word.
Yeah.
Well, here's how I take that. Sirianni's locked in. So I'm happy to hear that he just laser-focused, locked in. Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles and where they're at right now. So, Elliot, where are you on the passing game off this past weekend? I know we've had this conversation a lot of different times, a lot of different ways this season. But on Sunday, it was probably one of their lower outputs of the season in both yardage and efficiency. I mean, they started off 6-for-6, and then it felt like an hour of real time, maybe more, went by without a pass completed. What did you think of the offense, specifically the pass game Sunday with the Eagles?
Yeah, I think that Jalen Hurts and the passing offense is one of the more kind of complicated topics we've talked about on WIP. Because I do think there is truth on both sides, and I think that some of those truths are definitely contradictory. Like, do they want to only throw for 131 yards in a game? No. I think that they would like to have a passing offense that could be the reason they win. I don't think they want to be a run-first team. But I also think they have arguably the best running attack in the history of the NFL, or at least it's certainly up there among the best ever. So I can't blame them for running it all the time. It's not like Kenny Gainwell or a backup is in there and they're still running it a ton. There's a reason to give Saquon the ball a ton. So I do understand why they do it. And I also think that when you look at the passing offense this year, for the most part, when they've needed to throw the ball, they've been able to. And I think the lack of turnovers is a major positive with this team. If you told me Jalen played that exact game on Sunday, each of the next, it would be three games, and he didn't throw any interceptions, I would bet on them to win the Super Bowl. So I think that it's the way they can win. But yes, of course, when you watch it, it's not the most visually pleasing passing offense you've ever seen.
All right, how about this past Sunday in particular? Because a lot of people watched the film, and I know you rewatched it and gave, you know, kind of updated your grade on Jalen.
Yeah.
Some weeks this year, like the Panthers game, for example, it felt like he just wasn't seeing the field or he wasn't getting rid of the ball. He was missing what should have been there. A lot of people didn't feel that same exact way Sunday, that maybe there wasn't as much there. And, Elliot, that makes me wonder, was this a poor game by Kellen Moore, great coaching by the Packers, and how much the A.J. Brown injury impacted everything? Because my eyes told me A.J. wasn't moving like he normally does, and maybe that just changed everything.
I think we're going to get the answer to all that on Sunday, because if they come out this Sunday, and now I will say it looks like weather could be a factor, so that's something to consider here. But this is a big game for me moving forward, because this is the chance to really see where the passing offense is at. The last time they played the Rams, they ran for a ton of yards for sure, and I think they'll run for a ton of yards again. But A.J. had a big game. They won matchups on the outside. I think he had almost 100 yards against Williams, the Rams' top outside corner. So, like, there's going to be opportunities there. I also think that you can kind of write off last week's performance by the offense a little bit with Russ. Jalen and A.J. hadn't gotten reps in practice together for basically a month. He was dealing with that knee injury. I don't know if it's a knee injury where it's just going to flare up for a few days and then it's good, or, you know, so we'll see this week how he feels. But this Sunday will tell us a lot about where this passing offense is at and, you know, how effective it can be moving forward.
All right, let's talk about the defense. And they played great again Sunday, which they have basically the entire season since the bye. But now they're dealing with a major injury here. N'Kobe Dean out. I feel bad for him. I mean, he had so many injuries in his young career. He finally stayed healthy this year, was about to get a contract, and now he's out, and who knows when he'll be back at full strength again. But for Sunday, it opens up what I think is a question mark at that other linebacker spot. Oren Burks came in this week. Now the coaches, including Sirianni today, talking up Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and I'm positive McVay is going to test whoever is on the field. You know, whatever, whoever's out there, they're going to try to attack that player. I thought Josh Jacobs, they threw to him a lot on Sunday as soon as Dean went out. How big of a loss is N'Kobe?
I think he's a really big loss. He's been playing outstanding this year. He's awesome against the run. He's been one of the reasons they've been so good against the run. I also think he is in some ways, honestly, like the emotional leader of that team, or of the defense. You could say maybe Jalen Carter, but I think N'Kobe is a little more vocal. He calls the plays on the field. Like, it's just a big loss. So to your point about who replaces him, so I think it'll be a combination of Oren Burks and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Vic Fangio talked about it yesterday and said that because both are still playing special teams and basically because both haven't played a full game all year, that they might do some rotating there. But another element to this is Oren Burks was with the Niners prior to coming to Philadelphia. So you know McVay is very aware of who Oren Burks is, his strengths, his weaknesses, how to attack him. So I agree. They're going to go after him. And especially when you consider Jeremiah Charter Jr. being a rookie, hasn't gotten a lot of snaps. You know, I think he definitely has a high football IQ. Growing up in the family, he did, having a full year with the team. But it's a lot different when you're out there and, you know, it's live and it's fast for the first time. So, yeah, I fully expect them to go after that position.
All right, Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Let's talk about McVay and the Rams. So we saw the matchup, you know, in late November, and it wasn't close. 37-20, the Eagles win. It was the night Saquon really got on the map as an MVP candidate. But, Elliot, since then, the Rams' defense seems to have changed. Specifically, after they played the Bills in a shootout in December, they haven't allowed even 10 points in a game since, if you exclude Week 18 when they rested everyone. Last four games, 9, 9, 6, 9. They've been really good. How serious of a threat do you think the Rams are as they come in here now?
Now, I do think that stat is a little, like, they've definitely improved and they're playing better. But if you look at who they've played in there was the Cardinals, there was the Jets was one of them, and there was another one of the offenses, I think, that weren't that great. So
San Francisco, with all their injuries. It was the Niners.
San Francisco, right. Now, I think Purdy did play in that game. But, yeah, so I think that has to be taken into context. The other thing is they were very good against Minnesota, but we all agree Minnesota were somewhat fraudulent. So I guess where I land on this is the Rams have talent on defense. They have a very good defensive line. They have a good set of edges. They have a really good set of interior rushing defensive tackles. So their line is definitely the strength of that defense. It's what makes everything go. And you saw that on Sunday night when, you know, Sam Darnold was under fire almost the whole time in the pocket and didn't deal well with it. The reason I feel confident there won't be an issue against the Eagles is because of their offensive line, and they've already played them. So I think if you can negate that Rams defensive line, their back seven is intriguing. They have a lot of young players there. They move them all around, but they just don't have any elite talent in the back seven, in my opinion. So the Rams defense has definitely improved, but I think so much of it is because of their line, and I think the Eagles offensive line will be able to handle that.
Elliot, let's end with this. Who has the coach quarterback advantage this Sunday, Rams or Eagles?
I think it's the Eagles. So I do think Stafford is a better quarterback than Jalen right now, but I think Sirianni is a better head coach than Sean McVay. And I think if the duo, I would take Sirianni and Jalen Hurts right now. They've been better this year, I think, combined. Obviously, the record indicates that. And I also think if you just look at this with who they're going up against, there's a way better shot Sirianni and Hurts have success on Sunday than McVay and Stafford. So I think it's close, but I would take Hurts and Sirianni.
So last week I would have been with you. I would have taken Hurts and Sirianni over Love and LaFleur. This week man, McVay's a good coach, Elliot. He's got eight playoff wins already.
So is Nick. I mean, Nick. So to me, it comes down to more so, I guess, the Jalen and Stafford thing is a really interesting debate because Stafford, I think, has just a better arm than Jalen does. I mean, Stafford, sure, over the past 10 years has had probably a top three arm in the NFL. He can make every throw. And I think he's seen way more than Jalen, right? So I think he's probably better pre-snap than Jalen is. But what Jalen does with his legs and the lack of turnovers is a major deal. So I feel like we always end up back with this with Jalen, with, you know, like, how good is he? And the what he does with his legs and the turnovers are a major, major part of it. So I really do think it's like 51-49 one way or the other. I'd probably take Stafford, but I think it's very close between the two.
Yeah, I think the quarterback thing's closer to me than the coach thing. But obviously they're doing a good job right now the way that Sirianni is running this ship. Elliot, appreciate you hopping on. It's a fun week, and we'll see you on Sunday for the pregame, maybe with some snow falling as we get ready for a divisional round playoff game.
Can't wait. See you guys then.
There he goes. So,
I guess
Elliot, the more I hear it, I guess he was quoting Sirianni, so it's not like he just said it for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, as a fellow Big J to the reporter that asked it, he's just quoting it. And I said it earlier in the year to Nick Sirianni, or I said it to Jalen Hurts, because I think it's important to know the context of how strongly Nick felt about it by using that phrase.
Yeah, that's where he was at with it. Yeah, he just wanted to use it. He was that. I don't know who it was, but it sounded like he was the cat that, hey, this is my only time that I can use this in a sentence. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it here at the press conference. I'm going to be cool.
He had his moment, Hugh. He had his moment to say it.
Yeah, he had his moment. He had his moment, man. He went viral.
And like a true football guy, he didn't even react to it. Like a true football guy, he didn't even react to it. Because it's not really a curse word.
Yeah,
well, I just here's how I take that. Sirianni's locked in. So I'm happy to hear that he just laser focused, locked in. Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles and where they're at right now. So, Elliot, where are you on the passing game off this past weekend? I know we've had this conversation a lot of different times, a lot of different ways this season. But on Sunday, it was probably one of their lower outputs of the season in both yardage and efficiency. I mean, they started off 6-for-6, and then it felt like an hour of real time, maybe more, went by without a pass completed. What did you think of the offense, specifically the pass game Sunday with the Eagles?
Yeah, I think that Jalen Hurts and the passing offense is one of the more kind of complicated topics we've talked about on WIP. Because I do think there is truth on both sides, and I think that some of those truths are definitely contradictory. Like, do they want to only throw for 131 yards in a game? No. I think that they would like to have a passing offense that could be the reason they win. I don't think they want to be a run-first team. But I also think they have arguably the best running attack in the history of the NFL, or at least it's certainly up there among the best ever. So I can't blame them for running it all the time. It's not like Kenny Gainwell or a backup is in there and they're still running it a ton. There's a reason to give Saquon the ball a ton. So I do understand why they do it. And I also think that when you look at the passing offense this year, for the most part, when they've needed to throw the ball, they've been able to. And I think the lack of turnovers is a major positive with this team. If you told me Jalen played that exact game on Sunday, each of the next, it would be three games, and he didn't throw any interceptions, I would bet on them to win the Super Bowl. So I think that it's the way they can win. But yes, of course, when you watch it, it's not the most visually pleasing passing offense you've ever seen.
All right, how about this past Sunday in particular? Because a lot of people watched the film, and I know you rewatched it and gave, you know, kind of updated your grade on Jalen.
Yeah.
Some weeks this year, like the Panthers game, for example, it felt like he just wasn't seeing the field, or he wasn't getting rid of the ball. He was missing what should have been there. A lot of people didn't feel that same exact way Sunday, that maybe there wasn't as much there. And, Elliot, that makes me wonder, was this a poor game by Kellen Moore, great coaching by the Packers, and how much the A.J. Brown injury impacted everything? Because my eyes told me A.J. wasn't moving like he normally does, and maybe that just changed everything.
I think we're going to get the answer to all that on Sunday, because if they come out this Sunday, and now I will say it looks like weather could be a factor, so that's something to consider here. But this is a big game for me moving forward, because this is a chance to really see where the passing offense is at. The last time they played the Rams, they ran for a ton of yards for sure, and I think they'll run for a ton of yards again. But A.J. had a big game. They won matchups on the outside. I think he had almost 100 yards against Williams, the Rams' top outside corner. So, like, there's going to be opportunities there. I also think that you can kind of write off last week's performance by the offense a little bit with Russ. Jalen and A.J. hadn't gotten reps in practice together for basically a month. He was dealing with that knee injury. I don't know if it's a knee injury where it's just going to flare up for a few days and then it's good, or, you know, so we'll see this week how he feels. But this Sunday will tell us a lot about where this passing offense is at and, you know, how effective it can be moving forward.
All right, let's talk about the defense. And they played great again Sunday, which they have basically the entire season since the bye. But now they're dealing with a major injury here. N'Kobe Dean out. I feel bad for him. I mean, he had so many injuries in his young career. He finally stayed healthy this year, was about to get a contract, and now he's out, and who knows when he'll be back at full strength again. But for Sunday, it opens up what I think is a question mark at that other linebacker spot. Oren Burks came in this week. Now the coaches, including Sirianni today, talking up Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and I'm positive McVay is going to test whoever is on the field. You know, whoever's out there, they're going to try to attack that player. I thought Josh Jacobs, they threw to him a lot on Sunday as soon as Dean went out. How big of a loss is N'Kobe?
I think he's a really big loss. He's been playing outstanding this year. He's awesome against the run. He's been one of the reasons they've been so good against the run. I also think he is in some ways, honestly, like the emotional leader of that team, or of the defense. You could say maybe Jalen Carter, but I think N'Kobe is a little more vocal. He calls the plays on the field. Like, it's just a big loss. So to your point about who replaces him, so I think it'll be a combination of Oren Burks and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Vic Fangio talked about it yesterday and said that because both are still playing special teams and basically because both haven't played a full game all year, that they might do some rotating there. But another element to this is Oren Burks was with the Niners prior to coming to Philadelphia. So you know McVay is very aware of who Oren Burks is, his strengths, his weaknesses, how to attack him. So I agree. They're going to go after him. And especially when you consider Jeremiah Charter Jr. being a rookie, hasn't gotten a lot of snaps. You know, I think he definitely has a high football IQ. Growing up in the family, he did, having a full year with the team. But it's a lot different when you're out there and, you know, it's live and it's fast for the first time. So, yeah, I fully expect them to go after that position.
All right, Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Let's talk about McVay and the Rams. So we saw the matchup, you know, in late November, and it wasn't close. 37-20, the Eagles win. It was the night Saquon really got on the map as an MVP candidate. But, Elliot, since then, the Rams' defense seems to have changed. Specifically, after they played the Bills in a shootout in December, they haven't allowed even 10 points in a game since, if you exclude Week 18 when they rested everyone. Last four games, 9, 9, 6, 9. They've been really good. How serious of a threat do you think the Rams are as they come in here now?
Now, I do think that stat is a little, like, they've definitely improved and they're playing better. But if you look at who they've played in there, there was the Cardinals, there was the Jets was one of them, and there was another one of the offenses, I think, that weren't that great. So
San Francisco, with all their injuries. It was the Niners.
San Francisco, right. Now, I think Purdy did play in that game. But, yeah, so I think that has to be taken into context. The other thing is they were very good against Minnesota, but we all agree Minnesota were somewhat fraudulent. So I guess where I land on this is the Rams have talent on defense. They have a very good defensive line. They have a good set of edges. They have a really good set of interior rushing defensive tackles. So their line is definitely the strength of that defense. It's what makes everything go. And you saw that on Sunday night when, you know, Sam Darnold was under fire almost the whole time in the pocket and didn't deal well with it. The reason I feel confident there won't be an issue against the Eagles is because of their offensive line, and they've already played them. So I think if you can negate that Rams defensive line, their back seven is intriguing. They have a lot of young players there. They move them all around, but they just don't have any elite talent in the back seven, in my opinion. So the Rams defense is definitely improved, but I think so much of it is because of their line, and I think the Eagles offensive line will be able to handle that.
Elliot, let's end with this. Who has the coach quarterback advantage this Sunday, Rams or Eagles?
I think it's the Eagles. So I do think Stafford is a better quarterback than Jalen right now, but I think Sirianni is a better head coach than Sean McVay, and I think if the duo, I would take Sirianni and Jalen Hurts right now. They've been better this year, I think, combined. Obviously, the record indicates that. And I also think if you just look at this with who they're going up against, there's a way better shot Sirianni and Hurts have success on Sunday than McVay and Stafford. So I think it's close, but I would take Hurts and Sirianni.
So last week I would have been with you. I would have taken Hurts and Sirianni over Love and LaFleur. This week McVay's a good coach, Elliot. He's got eight playoff wins already.
So is Nick. I mean, Nick. So to me, it comes down to more so, I guess, the Jalen and Stafford thing is a really interesting debate because Stafford, I think, has just a better arm than Jalen does. I mean, Stafford, sure, over the past 10 years has had probably a top three arm in the NFL. He can make every throw. And I think he's seen way more than Jalen, right? So I think he's probably better pre-snap than Jalen is. But what Jalen does with his legs and the lack of turnovers is a major deal. So I feel like we always end up back with this with Jalen, with, you know, like, how good is he? And the what he does with his legs and the turnovers are a major, major part of it. So I really do think it's like 51-49 one way or the other. I'd probably take Stafford, but I think it's very close between the two.
Yeah, I think the quarterback thing's closer to me than the coach thing. But obviously they're doing a good job right now the way that Sirianni's run this ship. Elliot, appreciate you hopping on. It's a fun week, and we'll see you on Sunday for the pregame, maybe with some snow falling as we get ready for a divisional round playoff game.
Can't wait. See you guys then.
There he goes.